letter begin this service by singing number 168, the stanzas 1, 2 and 3. 168. Before thee, Lord, a people waits to praise thy name in Zion's gates. To thee shall vows be paid, thou hearer of the supplicant prayer. Number 168, the stanzas 1, 2 and 3. We will read to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of John, the third chapter, the first part, John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. A Lord of heaven and of earth, it is in the way of thy providence, in thy long suffering, in thy mercy, in thy loving kindness towards us, that we are privileged in this evening hour to come up to this house of worship and to place ourselves under thy word and testimony. Humble us together in dust and ashes before thee. There is no difference with other people and us. We are all the same by nature, but it is only thy mercy that thou hast given it in our mind, in our heart, that is everything, to come up in this evening and to hear what the Spirit have to say to the congregation. Lord, remember us. Open the Scriptures, which can make us wise unto salvation. Our blindness and our ignorance, more and more in our life, we have to realize that. And it shall be an eternal wonder if we are ever privileged in our life to know something of the spiritual things. That is only by divine and heavenly revelation. Thou art the only one who can bring it in our heart. Apply it to our soul. That thy word in this evening for young and old, for great and small, was a power of the unto salvation. That we may realize the power of it, but also the sweetness thereof, that we could say with Jeremiah and with David of old, when I have found it, I have eaten it, and it was sweeter than honey and than honeycomb. Lord, bring us at thy feet, as Mary of old was sitting there to hear the words of Christ. Made us receptive for the first time and by renewal, and that it be a blessing for young and old, great and small, where it for us is still the day of grace, the time to seek the Lord and to call upon his holy name. That thy people be edified in their most holy faith, that they come to the knowledge of Christ, but also that knowledge is increasing also in their heart and in their soul, and that they are experienced that in the knowledge of thee that there is eternal life. Remember all those that cannot gather with us, those who are in the hospitals especially. We commend them at a throne, a mother and a boy who is still unconscious. We cannot talk to him at all. He is laying there, thou knowest, in what circumstances. Lord, if it can please thee, rend him not away from the heart of the parents, who are time and again standing by that bed and looking to the child, their own flesh and their own blood. Lord, there is nothing too wonderful for thee. Take him not away unreconciled and unprepared, but that he come to, and that he may hear out of his mouth, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thou art the only one who can perform miracles and wonders while we are living in the day of grace. Strengthen that other mother laying there from day to day. That child that came back in this day after an operation. Strengthen also that child, and that it will bring him relief for his further life. A mother who is laying there after an accident. She do not belong to our church, but still attend so many times our church, living far away from us. Strengthen also her. It is a wonder that it is what it is, also in the age, that all those ways be sanctified to their heart. Remember that brother in the ministry who came home in this day out of the hospital, but very weak. Oh Lord, strengthen him, sustain him, and give him back to his congregation and family. Supply all the needs and the wants in the families and in our personal life. Look upon us from on high. Prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. Strengthen us in this evening to speak some edifying words in the midst of the congregation. Help us, as thou hast done so many times already, Lord, that we seek thy honor and the welfare of Zion. The boys in the service, remember them, with all the widows, orphans, and widowers. Forgive our sins. Wash and cleanse us in thy precious blood. For thy great name's sake. Amen. Number 213. We start with the seventh stanza. 213. Jehovah was wroth because they forgot to hope in their God and trusted him not. Yet gracious he opened the doors of the sky and rained down the manna in riches supply. Number 213, and we can start with the seventh stanza. Beloved congregation, it is indeed an unspeakable blessing of the Lord that the Lord in our life privileged us to be instructed out of his holy and infallible word. More and more in our life, we come to the realization that we know nothing. That in ourselves, that we are darkness. But that light from above, the light of the Spirit must be given unto us. We have to confess, and God's people that will confess, that they are not worthy. The instructions given by the Holy Spirit. And a blessing when the Lord make room and make place for it in our heart, and that same Spirit that he applied to our soul. We will hear something of those instructions in this evening out of my text. You find it by renewal in the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 15 for this time, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Thus far. We have heard the last time that Moses, by the command of the Lord, had lifted up in the wilderness that brazen serpent. The condition we have considered that evening, that Israel have sinned again, that the Lord was wroth and angry to them, that so many people died in the wilderness, but that people was privileged to become for himself guilty before the Lord. And that they asked Moses to pray to the Lord. And the Lord have heard the supplication of his servant, and he commanded Moses to place upon a high pole that brazen serpent. And now everybody that would look to that serpent, even that it was with a broken eye, that have the privilege to be healed. Moses itself could not heal the people. No. And that piece of brazen either you read in the Word of God in the days of Hezekiah that they worshipped that brazen serpent. But then Hezekiah, he commanded the priest to burn it up. because it was evil in God's sight that the people had done that. Now that people that was bitten by a fiery serpent, but now by looking to that brazen serpent, they would be cured. Of course, everything that was referring to Christ, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that refers also to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ must be lifted up, that is true. That is true for 100%. That must be lifted up in the ministry of the gospel, a preaching that the countenance is not Christ, that is a preaching which is in vain. We have always to refer in our preaching to that only name who is given under heaven whereby that we must be saved. But there is no something else, congregation. And we must never forget it, the necessity that Christ be lifted up in our heart. We have heard last Sunday that when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that his sweat was as great drops of blood falling upon the earth. And then we have emphasized to you the necessity that that blood drops in our heart. Because what prophet shall have the preaching of the gospel if it is not applied to our heart? And the applying to our heart, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. In what measure the Lord is free, we have nothing to say about that. But still, there must be something of it be wrought in our heart by the Spirit. And a soul, a regenerated soul, quickened by the Spirit, shall receive that need in his heart. That is one of the evidences, congregation, that we are not a stranger of spiritual life. The Lord, he is feeding his people with hunger and thirst. And I hope that a few words which I will speak in this evening, that it not be to the conversion of sinners, but also to the encouragement and to the comfort of seeking souls. I know the strife is heavy, time and again. That is one of the characteristics of spiritual life, that the devil is always behind him. An hard life, time and again. But still it drives that people on their knees. that drives that people to the throne of grace. And if it is right in our heart, people, if it is right in our heart, if it is the true work of God in our soul, then there shall be a praying life. They cannot be different. On account that the Lord, by His Spirit, uncovered what is lacking and what is missing. And let I say it in this way too, that people that is in themselves unhappy. The world and the churches in our days are full with happy people. Where you come, and where you ever come in contact with that people, oh, satisfied with nothing, satisfied congregation with nothing. We did realize that yesterday in another funeral where we were, but oh, satisfied, and then, oh, then you think, I am now that only one, that I am not satisfied, that only one that have time and again, by day and by night, to beg for light, for comfort, for revelation, for establishing. They have to beg for everything. Sometimes people, you can see it on their face, really. And it is something, if you meet someone that is also of that same life, and the people we have not met one in the evening yesterday, but then that feeling of their unworthiness, that woman, she said to me, shall well never be for me. How can it be? I am unworthy. I am unworthy. And you cannot believe people. Oh, such a language that drops immediately in your heart. And then you can say some words to such people. Really? To comfort them. Not that we can do that, no. But the Lord, He can use it. That Peter, I give you an example, and then I go further. But otherwise, then we go way too far. But that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, that received from the Lord such an opening to talk, when those 3,000 people said, what must we do to be saved? His heart that was so opened, he could well talk to them the whole day and the whole night wit uitstappen. In other words, he could give it out and they take it in. That's for a minister ook something. That there is people sitting under him that it takes in. That they take the words out of your mouth. And that you can realize that there is een longen for the words of eternal life. God's people that can satisfy with the Lord. With the Lord. With Christ. With the Holy Spirit. That is God's people. Examine yourself, congregation. Examine yourself before the Lord. Moses lifted up the brazen serpent. And you know why that it was lifted up so high? You know that? That the smallest could see it. And if those that were so a far distance from it, they could also see it. Because the salvation that is for the Jewish people and for the Gentiles, that is for both of them. And that this, for their people even at the end of the world, for those that placed himself outside. The people of Israel. It was an awful condition in which they were congregation. It was their sin that the Lord had sent those servants. It was their sin. They have realized it. You can find it in Numbers 21. And they saw before their eyes thousands and thousands of people that died there. They were laying with awful pains. The fevers were so high that several they died on account of that fever. The snakes, the serpents, they were there round about. And then there is this is not something else involved. Because our heart by nature that is filled with unbelief. Discouragement and hopelessness that are the greatest enemies of Christ. Discouragement that is also enmity. And you can well realize that there were many voices in the heart of the sick people. Many voices. They have said in their heart, do you believe, really believe, that a piece of brazen copper, that can cure us? Everything is busy to draw us away from the Lord and to draw us away from Christ as that only Savior and Mediator. And it is not for you. It is not for you. Your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your neighbor. but not for you. And now to overcome that, I cannot overcome it. No. But there is one. There is help laid up by one who is mighty to deliver. And that is the eternal Son of God. Co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Christ was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And there are three things, people, that we see. And that is, in the first place, we see Christ as the conqueror of Satan. We see him as the one that reconciled sin. And in the third place, we see that Christ as the one that is healing the deadly sickness of his people. First of all, congregation, we are under the power and the jurisdiction of the devil. And as soon as the Spirit starts to work in our heart in a saving way, then we have trouble with the devil. I told you many times, maybe you are tired of it, that is possible. But I hope not so. You read in Bunyan that when that man was walking on a street, after that he had left a city destruction, then there came a man behind him, and that man, he asked his attention. And then he said to that man, to Bunyan, "What you are doing now? You know what you have done. You have left the city and you are on the way to another city. But remember that you have promised the devil to serve him to all eternity. And if you not go back, then you shall have troubled your whole life with that devil." Your whole life. Bunyan, he said, "I cannot go back." A city that was burned up, of course. He could not go back. God's people that have no desire to go back. No. However, that the times in their life, even as by the people of Israel, that they were discouraged, and that they say to Moses, "Were there not graves enough in Egypt to be buried?" But that is for a little while. That is not constantly. That is not constantly. And that is not all the time. No, there are moments in their life that they are glad that the Lord had looked upon them and that he drew them out of darkness to that marvelous light. There are moments that they are joyful in the Lord. That people have those times that they trust in him. And that the joy of the Lord is the strength of their heart. But of course, the Lord, he opened their eyes for what they have done. And they are realizing in their life that they are slaves of the devil. And how shall they now be delivered out of his power? They pray, they say, they cry, but all the help is nothing. They become wretched and wretched in their life, people. I told you, congregation, many times that when the Lord converts a sinner, then it starts. Then it starts. Then it is not done. And then we cannot say, now. Now I can sit in a chair and I can rest and I can wait till that the Lord comes and that he takes me up in glory. No. But then it starts, people. More and more wretched in ourselves. But now Christ, when he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, Paul, he said in Colossians 2 verse 15 that Christ had triumphed on the cross over all the powers and over all the principalities. And on the cross of Calvary, there he bruised the head of that serpent. And as a result, that devil came never back to Christ. I would say in my verse, congregation, he had enough of it. He had no more courage not to come back 1 minute. There is not one text in the Bible that speaks about it. It was done after that Christ had bruised his head on Calvary's cross. He comes well back to his people. And he come well back to his children. But to Christ, never and ever. In the second place, Christ lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He reconciled sin. The word sin, maybe you know that. The word sin, that means finally that we have missed our purpose. Our destination. We were created in paradise to live in communion with God. And to live to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. That was the purpose of God's creation. But we have lost it. We have lost it, congregation. Of course, much deeper and broader, in broader sense. But that is now the same thing as that we have many times in the realm of nature. There are persons in the world, their life that is a disappointment. A disappointment. There is people when they were young, they have in their mind to learn for this, to become that in the world, but time and again they were placed back in the school. Finally, they gave it up. Some teacher, they say to the parents, you can well send that boy to the college till he is 100 years old, but he never come through it. So it is in business, in so many other ways. People that have really a miserable life, their whole life thinking of what they have in their mind when they were young, and are later on a disappointment. And that is now a much deeper way and sense, broader sense, that is now the experience of every child of God when the Lord opened his eyes. Because the Lord, he bring his people back to paradise, where they could honor and glorify the Lord. And now, an unprofitable servant, unprofitable. And then they fall with their whole heart upon it. Really, God's people. With their whole heart upon it. When you read in Psalm 95 that the Lord said, 40 years, 40 years was I grieved by this generation. All these people in the world that is so happy with himself. So happy. God's people that can never happy in, with himself. No. That have always my reason to come down. Always to humble himself. Always to confess their guilt and their sin. Therefore their only joy in the life that is when the Lord restore that people. When the Lord gave that people his image back, what they have in paradise. When they receive it in principle. Because it is not so, congregation, that that people shall sink away in despair. No. The Lord, he preserves his people for that. And he gave them time and again in their life reason to acknowledge him and to be glad with him and in him. That is what the Lord gives to that people. But of course, now in regard to sin, first the guilt of sin, then the pollution of sin, the dominion of sin, the results of sin that comes all open in the life of God's people. That is standing before that people as a mountain time and again. And even when their sins are forgiven, then that pollution that is cleaving unto them as long as they are living here in the world. And now the Lord, he breaks the dominion of sin and the power of sin, that sin shall have no more dominion over them, but there is one thing that remains with them too, and that is congregation, that is the result of sin. The result that comes upon the world and that comes upon God's people too. And therefore, now the Lord, he come in the life of that people to break him off, to strip him out They are realizing what Jehoshaphat has confessed, that is in us, there is no strength against that multitude. Oh, many times people, they are feeling themselves so miserable because there is a law in their members that is strife, that is, have always a strife, that strife between flesh and spirit. And why that people have to experience now all those things? That is for that purpose that they shall look to that uplifted Christ, to Christ who was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. Because he reconciled sin, taking away the guilt of sin for that people, that the burden shall fall from them, from their shoulders, and that they shall placed in the liberty of the gospel for their own heart and for their own soul. And in regard to the pollution of sin, that they shall realize that the Lord shall never take that entirely away from them. No. In the wisdom of the Lord, that burden that lays upon the people. Why? That Christ become more and more precious to the soul. As now that serpent was lifted up on that pole in the wilderness, so is Christ lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And every word in that text that have a meaning, of course. The pole that was placed in the wilderness, that means also congregation in the wilderness of our own heart. The wilderness of our own heart. And they become not different, no. That is a wilderness and that remains a wilderness. As long as we are living here in the world, but there is a grounded and founded hope for God's people that the time come that they shall come above it because Christ was lifted up on the cross and he reconciled sin for his people. Therefore, to make it short, therefore, congregation, the last promise that the Lord shall confirm for his dear jewels, for that worm of Jacob, and for that people of Israel, and the Lord shall deliver Israel from all their iniquities. That is when that people died. That is when that people is taken away. Therefore, it shall be the best day for God's children that they die and that their soul is taken up in heaven and that the remains are brought to the cemetery. Yeah. A deliverance. I shall give you 3 points. The devil is looking for our soul to dragging in hell. The worms looking for our bodies to destroy it. And your family and your friends for your money. 3 things. You would say that is something to say that, yes. But that is the truth. Let us money say that it is different. No, people, we are such hypocrites. Oh, we are so such hypocrites. We are all hypocrites. But a blessing when the Lord makes us hypocrite a sinner. That is a blessing. And now that cross of Christ to conquer Satan, to reconcile sin, to renew their people by the Holy Spirit, but also to healing the deadly wounds of that people. That's the first, that is the third thing for what Christ was uplifted on Calvary's cross. You read in Malachi 4, there shall be healing under his wings. In Psalm 147, he heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. In Psalm 103, who heals all thy diseases. In Exodus 15, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And in Isaiah 30, verse 26, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breath of his people and healeth the stroke of their wounds. If the Lord comfort us, then we become a wounded soul. And they are wounds in our life, people, wounds who are open as long as we are living. You can follow it? Wounds open as long as we are living. Therefore David, he said, he asked the Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Wounds, open wounds. And of course Christ, he heals the wounds of his people. And what is the medicine that he used? That is his precious blood. When that is dropping in those wounds, then there is a comfort for God's children. Because that cross of Christ that heals our deadly wounds. There is no other remedy in the world. Speak thou to my soul. I am thy salvation. And that we receive that comfort in our heart. David, he had experienced that also. He said in one of his psalms, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their sins. The power of the word of God and the power of the words of Christ spoken to that people. And it is Christ and him only who we need for time and for eternity. Therefore that cross of Christ, a stumble block, a foolishness for the you and for the heathen, but a power of the Lord for all that poor people of God. A blessing for that people. And therefore, congregation, Therefore, when he revealed himself in our heart and in our soul, then he received more and more value for our heart. And then there is a desire to receive more and more of him in our soul. As we sing now out of 243. My oath is steadfast, ever sure. My servant's race shall still endure. His throne forever firm shall stay. When sun and moon have passed away. Number 243, the ninth and the tenth stanza. And now that text said that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever, that word that is brought, because from what kind of people we are, whether even we are young or old, whether we are big or small, whosoever that is not to a certain extent now, but that covered everybody in the world, everybody. From what age, from what country, from what sex, where we come from, whosoever, said the Bible, believers in him. Thus, Christ is a savior of the world. His blood, his conquering, his reconciliation, and his healing, that is for everyone that believes in him. That includes this everyone. Not that everyone shall be saved. That is something else. But there is a possibility to be saved. And a certainty to be saved. And a guarantee to be saved for whomsoever believes. Now you know that word belief and believing that is used over the whole world. And there are thousands and thousands, as you say, if you ask them, you are a believer, then they say yes. They say yes. But now the question that is, what kind of belief? And how did they come to that? How did they exercise it? Because in general, then it seems that you can pick up it from the street. And there is no thing in the world so impossible than to believe. And there is also at the other side nothing so easy than to believe. Thus an impossibility and the easiest thing that there is in the world. The easiest things in the world to believe when the Lord by his Holy Spirit works that in our heart. But now you have to see that word belief here in our text, in the connection of our text, that whosoever believes in him, believes in Christ, should not perish but have eternal life. There must happen with that people in the desert, in the wilderness, a miracle to see higher than that brazen serpent. And I say this evening already, there were thousands and thousands of people that was bitten by the serpents, and they lay dead on the ground. And the serpents were day and night were busy to bite the people. And then only to look to such a piece of copper. The cross of Christ on Calvary, that is a stumble block. Caiaphas, he said, did you ever hear that one of the educated men had believed in him? Did you ever hear that? We read even in John 7, verse 4, that even his brothers did not believe in him. To believe now in a humbling Christ, in a bleeding Christ, in a dying Christ, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, we cannot believe in it. The disciples could even not do it. And the thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That man, that thief on the cross, that received in 1 hour more spiritual knowledge and wisdom than the disciples in 3 years. the sovereignty of the Lord. The sovereignty of the Lord. Though that stay home, that divide the spoil. That's the doctrine of free and sovereign grace. Therefore, people, therefore, when you come in the details, then the enmity of men that come on the foreground. We are all enemies of the cross of Christ, but that thief on the cross that men that have never thought to come in heaven. No. He was so sure to come in hell. Really? He had no other thoughts. He asked of not Christ to bring him in heaven. No. He said, only Lord, remember me. And now the disciples, they had believed in Christ as a prophet. The thief on the cross, he believed in Christ as a king. And as a mighty and an almighty king, who could give, who could remember him when he came sitting up on his throne. Whosoever believes, oh congregation, to make it short, there come for all God's people in time, one shorter than the other, and longer than the other. But they come for all that people in time that they cannot believe. They will well believe, but they cannot believe. And to believe that Christ now died for them, personally. To believe that he died for his people, they believe it. They believe that the false salvation in Christ is for all of God's chosen people. But that it is for them. I think, I believe, there is people in my midst this evening that would well give all what they have, but it's not to buy, we cannot buy it. But they will give all that they have in the world to believe that Christ came in the world for them. They will give everything. There are such mountains. Christ came skipping and leaping over the mountains. And Hal Burton, he said in one of his sermons that the highest mountain, that was unbelief, where Christ had to come over. And you read in the word of God that the Lord could do no wonders on account of their unbelief. And if the Lord convinced us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, then we say, I can never be that person for whom that it is. But now, when the Lord works that faith in their heart, that overcomes the world. That overcomes the world. And then the Lord, he persuaded that people. He breaks the power of that unbelief in their heart. And you know what they would say then, that people? Then they would say, oh man, now I can talk to you. Because David, he said, when I believed, then I spoke. When I believe. And then they shall tell you how many years sometime that they were filled with doubt, with fear, with trembling. begging at the throne of grace that the Lord would give a tender heart. But it seems that it all passed by, and that it goes longer and longer away from them, till that blessed moment is there that the Lord visits them. And when the Lord visits his people, then he brings with him everything, and then he fills their heart, and then it is easy to believe that Christ was lifted up for them, and that all the benefits of the cross of Christ, that it is for the poor people. Because, congregation, and that is one of the last words that I shall speak to you this evening, as soon as the Holy Spirit applies Christ in our heart and his mediatorial work, then it is easy to embrace Christ and to receive all his benefits with true faith. But never, boys and girls, men and women, do never forget that applying of the Holy Spirit must be on the foreground and must come at first. And we have read to you this evening out of this chapter, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, so free and so sovereign. And that whosoever believeth in him, by that faith that is given in the soul, wrought by the Spirit, should not perish but have eternal life. And now all the people that not believe and never shall believe, that shall surely perish. Young and old, we are still in the land of living. And with our rational mind, we are sitting this evening under the preaching of the gospel. That boy in the hospital, we cannot talk to. We tried this morning, where his father and mother were standing there also, but no response, no response. And then you must say, oh Lord, shall there no more come in time for that boy to talk to him, and no time for that boy to call upon the name of the Lord? Shall he have to die in that condition? Oh, the Lord, remember no him mercy. He had done wonders, and he can do still wonders. There is nothing too wonderful for him. Oh, congregation, remember that boy. Remember the parents in your prayers at the throne of grace. Remember them. That we bear one another's burden, fulfilling the law of Christ. Oh, we have that privilege to hear the sound doctrine and the word of God. That it be a blessing for our soul. The world passes away with all the lust thereof, but those that do the will of God, they shall remain forever. They should not perish, those that believe in him. That believe in him only as the Son of God and as the Son of Man, as the Savior of sinners, as the surety of his people, as the prophet, the priest, and the king, as that Christ who is all and in all for a lost sinner, O children of God, where the Lord had given you something in your heart, that you may increase and grow up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the joy of our heart and to the honor of his name. Amen. Lord, bless the few words spoken in this evening hour. Sanctify it to our hearts, and that it bears fruit that stay and that remain with us forever and forever. Prepare us for the next Sabbath day, if it can please thee, in thy counsel. Supply the needs for each and every one, for our families. Bring also in the day of tomorrow our dear life again to us in good health. May it well on the way through the air with her sister, who shall come with her, and remember all of us in thy condescending love and mercy, forgiving all our sins. Hear us for thy great name's sake. Amen. 66. Look on my afflicted state. Freely all my sins forgive. Mark my foes, their cruel hate. Keep my soul and let me live. 66, the first stanza. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.